Very good. So, the first 18 months of my life, I was in an orphanage in North Philly. I'm from the East Coast.
Yeah.
And for anybody out there that doesn't get that, I have to give them about 3 seconds and they're going to know I'm from the East Coast. My family's from Jersey, Philly area.
Yeah.
So I was put up for adoption and in an orphanage for my first 18 months.
Yeah.
And adopted by two amazing, amazing people. Very, very fortunate. And my parents that adopted me, they were in their middle 40s. So they were two generations ahead. So I was raised by that World War II generation.
Oh, that's
where
incredible.
It was lace up your boots, get to work. Nobody wants to hear about the whining and figure it out, you know? And I'm very fortunate that, and very grateful that I was raised in that mentality.
Yeah.
They went through the Depression.
Yeah.
And they were as close to the immigrant mentality that would be the best way to describe it for people now.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of them now are in their 90s. So we're losing majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way to describe the World War II mentality is the immigrant mentality, where it's figure it out, work together, and we have one goal. Let's all win together, whatever that means.
Yeah,
so very fortunate.
Yeah.
So, but I believe that struggle equals strength, right? Struggle equals strength.
Wow.
So what I mean by that is you can't build a muscle,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a mental muscle or a physical
mm-hmm.
muscle,
mm-hmm.
without putting strain on it.
Right.
And then once you put the strain on it, you have to let it recoup, right?
Yeah.
Then you do it all over again.
Right.
So left back in the second grade, diagnosed with ADD, said I had a learning disorder, never graduated high school. And at 19, I'm sitting in a jail cell looking at 8 to 10 if things don't go my way. That's my first 19 years of life. So, you know, left back in the second grade, diagnosed with ADD, said I had a learning disorder, never graduated high school. I was told and reminded that all those years, don't expect a lot out of yourself, because you can't learn in that cookie cutter mode, right?
Yeah.
There must be something wrong because can't learn in that classroom environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I realized later on in life is I just had an entrepreneurial spirit, right?
Right.
I was bored out of my mind in class. That just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
So what I share with people is figure out who you truly are and just double down, triple down, and quadruple down on it.
Yeah, yeah. What would you say some of the hardest years were for you?
Definitely going through school, because I always had friends and started wrestling in the fourth grade, so sports was a big outlet for me.
Yeah.
And I loved the social part of school, but I hated the, you know, the classroom and the homework and all that nonsense, right?
Yeah.
And I did, my two best classes were always gym and recess.
Yeah.
They were my two. So, you know, that was a struggle, because I felt like I was being pulled in a direction that really wasn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, there were some tough times, but there were some really good times and learning experience. And then definitely in my later teen years, again, 19, got into some trouble down at the Jersey Shore and sitting in a jail cell.
Every time you say Jersey Shore, it takes me back to that program.
Yeah, and I just want to let everyone know my crew was the original Jersey Shore.
Right.
So they were rough times. You know, it's really looking at your journey.
Yeah.
And understanding that you need to embrace the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Struggle is what makes us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you question that, I always say go back to nature.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you think about it, when a mom bird lays her eggs, naturally she knows that not to help the babies get out of that shell, they have to figure it out themselves, because if she does, what's it? It makes them weak.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So they have to get through that struggle.
Yeah.
Nature knows that. So if you're not sure, go back to nature, because mm-hmm. Nature will always put you back into alignment, yeah. put you back into perspective.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, I tell parents out there, yeah. let your kids fall down. Let your kids struggle and let them figure it out.
Yeah.
So now mm-hmm. they can, your goal really should be to raise mm-hmm. an independent, healthy individual.
So, I agree.
That's my rant.
The mother eagle does. The mother eagle takes its chicks all the way to the highest peak, and then it actually pushes it out of its nest. It's not going to allow the baby to fall or anything. You know, it's going to mm-hmm. catch it. But it's as it's watching safely, you guys, safely watching by the chicks, you know,
nature tells us it and teaches us. So when you second guess
yes.
that, I've had, I call them life's boot camps, right?
Yes.
And
yeah.
I had a real bad motorcycle accident probably about 15, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
And that, mm-hmm. that boot camp helped me get through a major fear barrier. So
mm-hmm.
I had my first business and I had it for 5 years at the time and I wanted to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I was 4 years at the time, and I wanted to sell it, but I kept that old conditioning in my mind, right?
Yeah.
Going back to when I was a little boy, saying that I'm not supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a successful business that I had built from scratch, but I wanted to sell.
Yeah.
But that voice kept saying, well, if you sell, what happens if you fall down? What happens if you can't do this again? Maybe you got lucky, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that old conditioning.
Yeah.
And I went away on a vacation, was up in Vermont, and was on a motorcycle, lost control, hit a boulder, intensive care for 4 or 5 days, broke everything on this side, punctured a lung. And once I started to rehab, I realized that it could be over like this. I could have been paralyzed or dead, right?
Yeah.
And there is no guarantees.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I said, you know what? I'm not going to allow this fear barrier to stop me. When I want to do something, I'm going to figure it out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And from after that, within a year
mm-hmm.
after that accident, I sold that business, started another business, built that, sold that, came
wow.
out here, built a business, sold it. So
mm-hmm.
I never, that boot camp taught me that life is fragile. It can change in a second.
Yeah.
And if that's truly what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
figure it out and go after it. So
it's amazing how, you know, traumatic events can change the course of your life and your decisions, you know.
It makes absolutely
you really, really think about your future, think about your the next step and all of that, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of kicked you out of that fear.
Woke me up, right?
It woke me up. Yeah.
Now, some people, it might put them into a cocoon, right?
It might
put them back into that fear. You know, I have a statement, I guess you could call it, an affirmation
mm-hmm.
that I created myself from all the years of being mentored and having some awesome people in my life and studying personal development. And it's, you know, that the darkness is only temporary.
Yeah.
As long as you keep moving forward, the only time
mm-hmm.
it becomes permanent
mm-hmm.
is when you go back into safety.
Ooh.
So think about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only time it becomes permanent is when you go back into safety. Why? Because
mm-hmm.
nature says that we're evolving beings. We're here to evolve, grow, expand, right?
Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
when we
yep.
stop that momentum, when we stop that progress,
yep.
now what happens is
yep.
we stop that growth. And you're either growing
mm-hmm.
or you're dying. There
yeah.
is no staying the same.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. We are
evolving
created.
Beings.
We are created to evolve, to create.
Expand. Yes.
Expand, exactly. Yes.
Yes.
I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Totally. Another thing that there's so many things. So many.
You got people saying hi.
I know. Hi, you
What's
guys.
Up, guys?
It's Elizabeth and Aaron. Hi, Aaron. Thanks for watching, you guys.
Awesome.
Aaron is on the East Coast.
Okay.
And Danny, she's up there.
All right, East Coast in the house.
So there's so much. There's a lot of good things that come out of you, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information. There's just so much to say, probably all in one sitting. But You wrote a book.
I did.
You wrote a book.
I did.
It was a really good book, actually.
Well, you know, and let me share with people, because a lot of people that hear my beginning story, right? Left back in the second grade, diagnosed with ADD, yeah. So I learned disorder. And then I start to share with them some of my successes in business. And, you know, most people are conditioned to think that if you can't learn in a certain way, if you can't do this in a certain way, mm-hmm. well, you're not supposed to be intelligent, or you're not supposed to win, you're not mm-hmm. supposed to make it. Here's what I've found in life. Life is very simple, not always easy, mm-hmm. okay? And if you can understand who you are and reverse engineer that, mm-hmm. you're going to win. Here's what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. So figure out who you are. Mm-hmm. So I have a book. Mm-hmm. It has my picture on it. Mm-hmm. It has all this verbiage on it that I share, right? Mm-hmm. And you've saw me on stage, and yeah. We've done 2 Monster Motivator TV yes. episodes, right? Yes. So you're familiar with my flavor and, yes. and what I share.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And people look at this book and they say, well, wait a minute, he never graduated high school, left back in the second grade.
Yeah.
How in the world could he write a book? Well, understand who you are and reverse engineer that. So I never wrote one word of that book. Mm-hmm. But my publisher and my writer, what I did was I audioed everything, sent it over to her, and she wrote it.
Oh my goodness, that's right? Awesome.
So when we agreed to work together, I said, yeah. Kelly, I would rather have root canal done than write a paragraph. And she and that was her response. She laughed. Right. And then she said, well, wait a minute. Where's the book? I said, it's up here. Yeah. And she said, well, how can we do this? I said, if you're willing, mm-hmm. here's what we do. I will audio each chapter. I have all the chapters titled already, but mm-hmm. I have all the content in here. Mm-hmm. So I said, I will send you each chapter every week. So I did Audacity and just did it. And she wrote it. And yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's
so awesome. It's so understanding who you are and mm-hmm. reverse engineering that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense?
It makes a lot of sense. It makes sense to me. It makes a lot of sense. I don't know if it makes sense to you guys. I'm sure that you guys are getting a lot out of this, though.
And if it doesn't make sense to you, here's what I can tell you. If I had to write the book, there would be no book at this time.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reality. No. So if you're not a writer, mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you that don't let that stop you.
Yeah.
Align yourself with the right people so yeah. now you can enhance your weaknesses
yeah.
and double down, triple down, quadruple down on your strengths.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yes. Compensate for where yes. where you lack at, right?
Yes, and see, I can see in your eyes, right, mm-hmm. that connected with you.
Yes.
That connected with you.
Yeah.
Because so many people are so focused on why they can't do it right. versus how they can.
Right, yes. I mean, I also grew up. I grew up, you know, hardcore. You know, I was never a bad kid per se. Not that I would tell. Just kidding.
Right.
But I, you know, grew up with my dad was really hard, and you know, so in that growing up, there was a lot of negativity mm-hmm. also coming my way. Mm-hmm. So I absorbed a lot of negativity, but a lot of great people came into my life at an early enough age. Mm-hmm. So because of that. That redevelopment thing, pushed me into this area of thinking that I'm always trying to find the solution in every like really bad situation. I'm now going to this gear where I have to find the solution. Yeah. I have to find the solution, right?
Yeah.
And I think it comes from growing up, because I talk to other people that come from, you know, tough neighborhoods and things. Mm-hmm. They have to like try to figure it out survive. But,
so where does that map to? Struggle equals strength.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That maps to struggle equals yeah. strength. There's mm-hmm. just, that's it. And one of the things that I've learned over the years is we're all energy,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. What we think about comes about. So mm-hmm. a lot of people, what you just shared, most people share it that way, right? They say, mm-hmm. because it's their story. So it's hard to see the picture inside the frame. And they yeah. say, well, I was very lucky that I had the right people come into my life. But Here's the other thing, though, that's part of this. And you need to acknowledge this and give yourself this credit. Whether you realize it or not, it doesn't matter, because the universe is still working. So you were they came into your life, you attracted them, but you were opened to receive, right?
Yeah.
So you could have an identical twin in the same circumstances, not ready to receive. So I want to drive that home. You were ready to receive. You were searching for that. The universe, God, whatever title, right? You want to put on it. Answered that, right? And you, that's why you could have siblings that are polar opposite, same bloodline, same family, right? We all know them, right? And because you were ready to receive.
Yes, totally.
Is that?
Yes, that resonates with me. Did I say that right? Yeah.
It's a truth.
Yes, and I want that to be clear to you guys as well out there, because, I mean, a lot of you out there are teachers, preachers, and, you know, speakers and things like that, and you're listening in. You're working with people that they ain't ready to receive. That no matter what you have to give, no matter what you tell them, doesn't matter how good of a speaker you are, they will not get what you're saying, because they're not there yet. They're not ready for it. They don't want it. They're blocking it however way they want. And sometimes they're going to be an annoyance to you and hang around a bit. And a lot of times they just kind of leave, because they're not ready for it. So they'll be annoyed with you and get out of there, or they'll be hanging around and you probably want them to get out. So just remember that, okay? Remember that there's a time to receive, right? You got to be ready for it.
Yeah. And let's expand on that as well, because I think this is a huge stopper, a huge excuse, a crutch for a lot of people about their past, right? First of all, let me explain this. Victims never win. So if you want to be a victim, you're going to keep losing. That's the bottom line, number one. Number two is, when I say a lot of people use this as a crutch, my dad was an alcoholic, my mom was abusive, my mom wasn't there, my mom put me up for adoption, right? My family didn't want me, I was the black sheep, I was this, I was that. That's great. But life says, we don't care, right? What are you going to do today, and what are you going to do about it? And one of the things that can help, if you're ready to receive this, this could be a game changer for a lot of people that are using that as a crutch. Your dad was an alcoholic, your mom was an abuse, your uncle did this to you, your family did that to you. Here's what you have to understand. We're human beings, and they can only operate to their level of awareness. So I'm not condoning, but when you can understand that they can only operate. So if your dad, I'm going to use this as an example, because a lot of people, if your dad was an alcoholic and an abuser, there's no condoning. But once you can understand that he could only work at his level of awareness, what he understood, now what happens is, now you can, there's a reasoning, okay? Now you can let that go and move on. So understanding that they can only work at their own level of awareness. And a level of awareness means, so a lot of people say, monster motivator, you're never in a bad mood. Never have a bad day. You're always on. Well, that's not true, right? But what self-help, what personal development does, right? All it does is add to your toolbox. So now, when you feel that funk coming on, you can get out of that quicker than you could, because you're raising your level of awareness. Does that make sense?
That's good. You're in the zone now, Dave. You're like,
this is my world. This is
your body language
this
changed.
Gets my juices flowing, because it's so real, and the truth resonates at the highest level. That's why when you meet somebody and you go, I don't know, because or you say, you're right on. The truth resonates at the highest level.
One of the things that you said that I learned from was what you were just saying earlier is, life says, I don't care. Is that what you were saying?
Life says, we don't care.
We don't care. that was like almost a wake-up call to me. When I went, the very first time I went on the show, and I know a lot of the self-development stuff because, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. from, I, you know, the teachers that we had growing up were just amazing. But when you said that, I was still in a victim, kind of coming out of a victim zone. Mm-hmm. You know, we do go through that victim. We're going to be in there at some point.
No question,
right?
No, I mean, yeah.
we got to recognize it and get out of it, though.
Yep.
So when he said that, I was like, ooh, that's the truth. Like, it ain't about what people are doing. It's about just life, period, itself.
Yes.
Life does not care. So what are you going to do with that?
And not only that, but check this out. Life doesn't care. Life says, what have you done lately?
Mm-hmm.
And life makes the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Life makes the rules. So you're either,
yeah.
you're the people that are in this funk that can't
yeah.
seem to get out of this funk, they're not understanding the rules.
Yeah.
And they're not playing within those rules. And life says,
yeah.
The universe, energy, whatever you want to call it, God,
yeah.
right,
right,
says,
yeah.
If you do this, mm-hmm. now this could happen. So your results, right, are, and the beautiful thing about results is they never lie.
Yeah.
So if you're not happy with your results,
true.
Change that.
Change that, yeah. Totally good stuff. Totally good stuff, yeah. And it's just kind of like, you know, reminding me, you know, to keep moving. And that's another thing that you said too. That's another thing that you said. You said you kept saying something about you got to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was you that said that when your brain can only do certain things at a certain time. If you keep moving forward, your brain has to keep moving forward.
Right. So, and I think this is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So when those fear barriers
yeah.
start to set in,
yeah.
the kryptonite to fear is massive effective action.
Yes.
Because when you're taking massive effective action,
yeah.
you don't have time for that fear,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You just move forward. And
yeah.
not only is massive effective action the kryptonite to fear,
yeah.
it's the magic to make everything happen,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
think about it.
Yeah.
Once you start to take that massive effective action, fear is gone,
mm-hmm.
and the people and the circumstances start to come into your life
mm-hmm.
to make it unfold. It becomes magical.
Oh yeah.
It becomes magical. There's
yeah.
things that happen in your life because you've done that
yeah.
and you turn around and you say,
yeah.
man, how did that and what? It's absolutely magical
yeah.
when you take massive effective action.
Action. Yeah.
yeah.
I look back and I think, how in the world did I come in contact with all these different people? And then I look back and I think, you know, it's because I made these choices.
You moved.
To face
yes.
certain fears or
yes.
come out of comfort zones. And I'm a really, like, I'm you know, an introverted,
I
you know,
know,
almost shy
know.
Person.
Yes.
You know? So a lot of it is, it is a struggle for me to come out of a comfort zone sometimes.
Right.
I want to stay in that.
And that's the greatest gift that you can share with the people that are
yeah.
watching you
yeah.
is to remind them that mm. this is not a natural state for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
what happens now is now people can relate because they're like,
yeah.
oh man, me too.
Yeah.
Right? Me too.
yeah.
And that's when I speak, I my goal is to get to a point with my name, my brand,
yeah.
to where when I do a keynote,
mm-hmm.
okay, I can do 10 minutes of my bio
mm-hmm.
and the rest Q&A. Because,
yeah.
see, I love the Q&A because now
mm-hmm.
it means something to you.
Yeah.
And now it's going to mean something to me.
Yeah.
It's going to be authentic.
Right.
And it's going to be real. And the
yeah.
chances of you or that other person asking
yeah.
questions that somebody in the back
mm-hmm.
is too afraid to ask,
yeah.
but still gets value.
Yes.
So I love Q&A. Q&A, and that's
yeah.
what I love this.
Yeah.
This is my world, and
yeah.
you know, with Monster
yeah.
Motivator TV, I can't wait to relaunch it at a whole
yeah.
nother level.
yeah.
I'm excited. This is
good stuff.
This is the juice that this is it for me.
Yeah.
Love it.
So you gave us a lot of great stuff, Dave. Now, You're venturing into, well, you've done all kinds of stuff. You work with animals, you work with dogs?
Yeah, I've been in the dog world for a long time, and now we just launched a line of canine supplements.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. human supplements, mm-hmm. and we're gonna put that all under the Dave Daly Monster Motivator brand, so it's DDMM Nutrition. And the goal in 2019 mm-hmm. is now to relaunch Monster Motivator TV, mm-hmm. have that company be a main sponsor, mm-hmm. and then travel the country mm-hmm. in a custom RV.
What? I love that.
Yeah,
I love that idea.
So, and also create mm-hmm. Our own little reality show
yeah.
called The Daily, D-A-L-E-Y,
oh.
Mojo. So I have wow. a video guy cool. that just follows us around.
Yeah.
We do,
yeah. Yeah.
like, before we got set up and went live, me and you were having some conversation, right? And I said,
yes,
man,
yeah.
we should have this on air.
Yeah.
And you said, you're right.
I know.
So I want to capture that.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
part of the Daily Mojo, tie that in with Monster Motivator TV.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. I love that. I love when people do that. You know, when they get the, that's actually something I've always dreamed of doing.
What's that?
But doing the RV thing or the, you know, the travel van and go around
goal.
The country
that's
and
my...
just meet and talk with people and get that on camera.
Oh, absolutely.
That's totally awesome.
I want to share those Rocky stories.
Yes.
Right? And just take Monster Motivator TV to that next level.
Yeah.
And interview some amazing people and just share those Rocky stories.
I really like
in
that.
An RV. Yeah. Custom
there's
RV.
There's a guy out there who did that. He was going around he was the only one I've ever seen do this as far as like church.
Yeah.
He was a pastor of a church, and he had painted this RV. They had it all fixed up and they did podcasting in it. They went around from church to church and conferences to conferences doing their podcasting inside of that. It was awesome. It was incredible. Mingo Palacio is probably watching, I'm not sure.
And here's a great lesson, I think, for people is what I just shared. A lot of people are going to say, well, man, how in the world can you do that? And that
yeah.
seems like a whole lot. And man, I'm already manifesting it because I'm already speaking it.
Yeah.
See, it's already. Mm-hmm. So now I'm taking massive effective action.
Yeah.
And now the universe,
mm-hmm.
God,
mm-hmm.
is putting those people and those circumstances
yeah.
in place to have this happen.
Yeah. That is incredible. That's just incredible.
Yeah.
So much fun. That's a lot of fun.
That's
the way to do a job, no?
That's my, in this time in my life, that is my main objective, my main goal, my passion, and that's what I'm going to take to the end.
Yeah.
Whenever my journey ends, it's so interesting because it's so clear.
Yeah.
And by voicing it and reaffirming it, so many people are afraid that they're going to say, well, it hasn't happened yet. Well, that's
right,
because
right, yeah.
you don't understand how the universe works.
Yeah.
These things, they take time,
they
right?
Take time, yeah.
The right time, whatever that is,
yeah.
you might not know it. But you just keep moving forward, and
yeah.
it's going to unfold.
Yeah.
It's going to unfold.
Totally.
Yeah.
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 I agree. I totally agree.
Affirmations are important. And I'm a big believer that,
yeah.
you know, life is really made up of a trifecta, which I call motivation, inspiration, and perspiration. And I believe that all three need to be put in place. But I also believe
yeah.
that all three should be in that order. So motivation. Now, there's a lot of... public speakers and
mm-hmm.
motivational speakers that kind of shy away from the word motivation because they think it's too shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that without motivation, something that's going to get you up in the morning, you have no starting point. So you need a starting block,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Inspiration comes from the inside. So when that motivation starts to die off, the inspiration, your why, carries you through. And then the
mm-hmm.
perspiration, nothing happens without perspiration, right? Massive
yeah.
effective action. But
yeah.
check this out. If you do this in reverse,
yeah.
you're going to chase your tail. Here's what I mean.
Yeah.
If you're taking all
yeah.
this action
yeah.
without understanding your inspiration, your why,
yeah.
and your motivation, your starting point,
yeah.
you're just going to chase your tail and then eventually give up. So what is your motivation, right? What gets you up in the morning? Now what's in here,
what's in your
right?
heart,
what's going to carry you through,
yeah.
okay? And then how much massive effective action are you willing to take?
Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, it still takes me back to the teachers that we had when we were kids. It was the Humphreys, Brad, Galen, and Professor Humphrey, family there. But they just knew their self-development, and they were studying books like, you know,
Thinking Grow Rich,
Dale Carnegie,
yeah.
and all that stuff.
Yeah, Napoleon Hill, Dale
yes,
Carnegie. Yep.
That was all new to me. We didn't know. I don't think any of us knew that we're going to school down in there. We're here in Nashville City, actually.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it wasn't until later on when I started to read these books, just discovered them, was introduced to them as, you know, in my growing up years later on. And then I was like, this is the stuff that I was taught when I was like 17 with the Humphreys and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. this is what they were teaching us. Oh, and the light bulb goes on. I'm like, oh, this is what it meant.
You were ready.
Yes.
You were ready to receive that. And I personally believe that it's a tragedy that personal development is not taught from day one in school.
Yeah.
It's life 101.
Yeah.
Oh, it's totally. It's life 101.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer that EQ trumps IQ all day long in the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am around, this is for some of you out there that you're like in the college years and stuff. I'm around a lot of college kids, and I have conversations with them, and they usually in these weird situations where they don't think that I'm listening, because I'm a chaplain as well. So I kind of pretend like I'm listening but not listening at the same time, with a certain.
So they stay authentic, right?
Yes, because they don't like this one-on-one conversation. I do this with my son too. Shh, don't tell him. But anyways, I have like there's this kind of thing that I do, and we're kind of conversating, and I'm kind of listening at the same time. But they start to reveal these situations that they're in college, and they don't know what they're going to do. They don't know their next step. A lot of them are saying, you know, admitting that the type of drugs that they're doing to get through school, and they're so like in debt that and they don't even know they're studying these huge careers that their parents wanted them to study, and half of them, that's not what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so I started to like ask them questions like, you know, what is it really that drives you? What do you want to live for? And things like that. And they kind of start to think about that. And even some of them haven't even thought in that direction.
Right. Yeah. It just, and the, you know, like you were saying, what do you want to do? My first question is always, why are you here?
Yeah.
Let's start there. Right? And most of them are going to be like, I don't even know. It's my parents. It's this. Then again, reverse engineer that. Then figure out what is it that you truly want to do. And then how do you go about it? Because if you, I say this all the time, being in business, if you think about this, it's the worst business plan you could have to go to college and get in debt and have zero understanding why you're there and where you're going. Look, unless you're going to be an attorney, a doctor, something that you need that actual degree and you have that direction. But I'm talking about the masses. Think about this. If you went to the bank and you said, I want to start this business. I need this money, right? They're going to say, okay, give me the business plan. And how are you going to pay us back? The colleges don't ask that. So they're starting in such a hole, in such a horrible, anywhere else in the world, the bank would throw you out and say, we're not giving you the money.
Yeah.
You have no plan. You have nothing.
Nothing.
You're just there to exist. And it's a shame that that happens to the majority of kids. And it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough.
And they come out and they're in debt. They don't even.
Here's the other thing that happens. Not only that, they're sheltered because they're in these classrooms. They're in this little world for those years and they're not experiencing the real world.
Right.
So it's like, it's almost like the martial artist, right? That's going to protect themselves when things really go down.
Yeah.
But they never left their dojo, right? And
right.
It was always in their bubble.
Right.
Then all of a sudden they get mugged and they don't know what to do, right?
Yeah.
So it's like that. And then you're throwing these kids out there and now they're in their 20s,
yeah.
right? Now what happens?
Yeah.
Now what do you do?
I like the way you said that because that kind of, I was able to understand that one.
Well, because
yeah.
it's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a truth. And,
totally.
And but then there also has to be, you have to also take on that yourself. So there's got, mm-hmm. there's also a point where we say kids, but now you're in your 20s. Now you have to start to think as an adult. And
yeah.
you have to start to, it's your job now to start to figure out who you are.
Yeah.
After a little while, mm-hmm. the parents thing, life doesn't care.
Life doesn't care.
Life does not care, you know?
Yeah. I know my dad said that to me a long time ago when I first had my son. And I was, you know, a brand new mother. And I was running after him. And, you know, I wanted to be a good mom. And, you know, there he went. He would climb, like, he would climb trees and he would not stop. And I would be like, I mean, I would freak out. And one day my dad was with me and he would say, he looked at me like sternly and said, "You need to stop. Stop and let him go. He needs to fall a couple of times in a safe manner, he does. But he needs to fall
yeah.
a couple of times so
yeah.
that he can know his limit.
Right.
Because you keep protecting him, he doesn't know his limit. So he's just going to keep going and going, thinking you're going to go after him."
Right. And then not only know his limits, but now life is... That's life's test.
Yeah.
And life is going to say, are you going to get back up and wipe yourself off, or are you going to sit there and cry for your mom?
Right.
Because if you
yes.
cry for your mom,
yeah.
after a while, when you become older and you are that adult, again, life is going to crush you.
Yes.
And that's
totally.
Just that's just
totally.
Life 101. It's going to crush you.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I see so many parents creating handicapped kids.
I know.
You
yeah.
know? And not intentionally.
Not intentionally.
But handicapped kids. So
yeah.
think about this. If you're that parent and you're doing that and you're doing everything for your kid and you're trying to protect them in this bubble,
yeah.
what happens if something happens to you?
Exactly.
What
exactly.
happens if something
yes.
happens to you?
Right.
Right? And I'm a big believer in this too,
right.
now that we're talking about this,
mm-hmm.
is in your middle, late 20s,
mm-hmm.
30s, definitely 40s, definitely 30s too, to be honest with you. If there's not a role reversal
mm-hmm.
in the parent-child relationship,
mm-hmm.
it's broke. Here's what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in your 30s and you're in your 40s,
yeah.
if you're not
yeah.
taking your parents out to dinner, if you're not doing things for your parents and
yeah.
they keep doing it for you,
yeah.
it's broke.
Mm-hmm.
You're going against nature. When you start to have that role reversal
yeah.
and you are now taking
care of
them,
yeah.
now you're on the right track.
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe that's the way nature intended everything
yeah.
to work. That's why back in the day,
yes.
right, in the World War II days and before, parents, grandparents lived with the family.
Yes.
My dad's mom lived till she was 100 years old, but she lived with us for 30 years.
Wow.
That's how they were.
Wow.
But think about that. That's what I mean about as close to the immigrant mentality, right?
Right.
What do immigrants do?
Yeah.
They're like this.
They're like that. Yeah.
Right? They're like this.
Yeah.
So I believe as you get older in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, if there's not a role reversal,
yes.
it's broke.
Yeah.
Fix that.
Yes. Good advice, Dave. Good stuff. That is really good stuff. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Really. That's really good
and
stuff.
And I think that's a great
yeah.
gauge for
I
parents going, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Too.
How come, why is Sally
yeah.
and why is Joey living with us, right?
Yeah.
Back living with us
yeah.
versus us living with them.
Yeah.
You know, why is this happening? Why do... Every time we go out to eat, we have to pick up the bill, right?
Yes.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, because there's no role reversal. So now you need to start to create role reversals. And here's the other thing
yeah.
that I want to definitely talk about before before the show is over.
Yes, go for it.
What are your non-negotiables?
Oh, yeah, that's another one. I love when you say that.
What are your non-negotiables? Yeah. If you don't have non-negotiables, you have no boundaries. You have no boundaries, you're all over the place. So that means people in your life are allowed to be all over the place, right?
Yes.
So what are your non-negotiables? So parents that are having issues with their 20, 30, 40-year-old kids, what are your non-negotiables?
Yeah.
Here's our non-negotiable.
Yeah.
We're not going out to dinner unless you pick up the tab. How about that?
Yeah.
There's your non-negotiable. Whatever that is, I'm just using an example.
Yeah.
What are your non-negotiables? Once you're clear on your non-negotiables, now everyone else falls into place.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's creating that whatever that is. Like for growing up, right? My mom said, by 8 o'clock, you're in bed when I'm a little kid.
Yeah.
That was her non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And I knew that. And that was it. Right?
Right.
That was it.
Right.
Yeah, I remember. I love this story. So my business partner, Bobby, he had 7 siblings, right?
Right.
In his family.
Uh-huh.
Big Italian family. And they would be upstairs getting, you know, making noise, jumping on the bed. And you know what his dad used to always say? He goes, don't make me come up there because I don't waste the trip. And then everyone just. So again, knowing what those non-negotiables are, knowing what those guidelines are for kids, young adults, and the parents, make everything so clear. And you know, that relates back to nature. People are like, well, how come my dog is acting up? How come my dog is so fearful? How come my dog is chewing things? Because you have, see, dogs, and I'm going to relate this and kind of bring this back around. Again, I go back to nature.
Yeah.
Dogs are pack animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so are humans.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is the pack, the cave, is a security, right? To live another day.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a leader in that pack.
Yeah.
If you don't show your kids and your animals that you're the alpha, now they have to take that role. And if they're not ready to take that role, the stress that comes on them, right, it acts out. So when you see a kid acting out in public at a restaurant, at a mall, and you're looking at that parent like, oh, you better, there's no boundaries for that kid. They don't know.
Right.
They don't know where they're supposed to be in that pack.
Right.
There's no pecking order. I grew up, I knew exactly what that pecking order was.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you did too.
Yeah.
But it's healthy.
Right.
It's healthy. Yeah. So there's my rant.
Yes. That's a good one though. I mean, we have lost that somewhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe it just maps back to you don't have your non-negotiables.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe a part of that too is maybe it morphs into politically correct.
It
morphs into worrying about what everybody's going to think, right? And I remember being in public, and if I acted out, she'd grab my arm and just say, "You do that again," and I, you know, I just knew.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
So it's important.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. Oh, you were talking right now, and I like gulped like.
Because you remember.
Yeah. I do remember. Shoot, we knew.
Right?
Yeah, we knew not to play. We knew what the order was.
He definitely wasn't going to waste the trip.
No.
Yeah. Definitely. And that's a healthy, that's the way nature intended.
Yeah.
Right? Because of survival. Your pack needs to survive for tomorrow. So your pack leader, you have to follow, right? That's like the military. There's generals, there's sergeants, there's it. There has to be a pack order for survival.
There has to be someone leading. Yes, that is totally true.
Yeah.
Totally true. I hope that you guys are getting a lot of good stuff. I know that you guys are getting a lot of good stuff out of this. And I see you guys there. Hi. So, Dave, you said a lot of great stuff. You talked about, you know,
Tom Lattigard. What's up, buddy?
Oh, it's Tom. Hi,
yeah.
Tom. All right. So you said a lot of good stuff. You talked about, you know, your accent, talked about your childhood, you talked about your book, some of the projects that you got going on, some of the supplements and things like that. You gave us a lot of great content. Dave, You're just an amazing, amazing guy. You're that friend. I'm telling you, you're that friend that everybody wants to have. You know, that you, that friend that go, right, Tom? You know I'm right. So you know, you're that friend that got your, that they got your back. Mm-hmm. The big buff guy that's got your back. That's mm-hmm. what, that's the way I view you. That guy that, you know, you feel like you're, you know, if you call him up and say, look, I'm scared, I'm going to go and make this business move, and you're going to be like, you'll be all right, go do it. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you guys, I always think that Dave is going to be like, rah, you know, but he's not really like that. He's actually a very nice, you know, conversational, you know, gentleman.
Yeah, and I have a huge heart, and I always want to help people that want to help themselves.
Yes.
And that's my non-negotiable. If you're not willing to help yourself, don't waste my time.
Yeah.
Mm. Don't waste my time. And that's another thing that I think is really important, that your time needs to be your most valuable possession, because once it's gone, mm-hmm. no matter how much money, no matter how much influence you have, you can't get that back. And it's so fast.
Yes.
Right? It is, you blink an eye and it is so fast. And that, I think, between understanding and respecting your time, so now other people will respect your time, okay? And I just had this happen with a business. They were supposed to come to my house. They were supposed to clean my carpets. I booked it 2 days in advance. They followed up with me the night before. Now we hit the time. I called the company, and she said, I think we're running a little bit late. I said, well, let me know what your ETA is, because I rescheduled my day to be here for you. Get a call. Ironically enough, I'm in Fallbrook. Mm. Get a call. And he says, I'm in National City, and I won't be able to get there for a few hours. I said, well, then forget it. He says, what do you mean? I said, I rearranged my day. I booked this 2 days in advance. If you can't figure out how to run your company, then you don't get my business. And click, kept calling me back, and I just moved on. I got my carpets done the other day from an awesome guy, and guess what? Every 3 months, he's going to now get my business, right? So know what your non-negotiables are.
Yeah.
Don't waver on them. Mm. If it feels right, move forward. So don't let people waste your time.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing that I would say you should be very, very fearful of, mm-hmm. and this is coming from the fear barrier guy, it's regret.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It's regret.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's what I mean by that. So my dad, it'll be 2 years, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, he passed away. He was a month away from his 92nd birthday. Mm. And so I share this when I'm on stage a lot of times, because it maps back to regret and what I think you should be fearful of. So he got diagnosed with throat cancer, and, you know, very limited time now. So we're in the hospital, just me and him, and we're getting ready for hospice to take him out. And I said to him, I said, I got a question for you. And he said, what? And I said, now this is a guy that is in World War II, 82nd Airborne, man's man, right? And now he's a month away from his 92nd birthday, got fatal news, right? The doctor said to him, John, here's what we have, here are your options. He goes, Doc, I came into this world natural, I'm leaving natural. The doctor looked at him and said, that's the World War II generation, right?
Yep.
So he's in the hospital bed, we're waiting for hospice, and I said to him, I got a question for you. He says, what is it? I said, he's got all the wires hooked up to him, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, you're a month away from your 92nd birthday. He said, yeah. I said, do you have any regrets, any major regrets? And he looked at me, and he looked away, and looked back at me, and he goes, no, not really. I go, you won. Mm-hmm. He goes, what? I go, you won. I go, you won this thing called life. Mm-hmm. I said, you made it into your 90s without any major regrets. And he just sat back and he smiled and he goes, I did. I won. Okay. So that's how you win in life.
Yeah.
Don't leave here
yeah.
how quick or how long your journey is with major regrets. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't leave with regrets if you can help it.
With that said, Dave, that's a good note to end on. A really good note to end
just,
on.
It's a truth.
That's amazing.
And it's a truth.
Yes. So with that, thank you so much for coming.
And we're going to do the roar on three. Right, ready? One, two, three.
Thanks for watching, guys.